Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Our will to create was commensurate with our will to live. Those words were written by composer Victor Ullmann while interned at a Nazi concentration camp in Terezín, Czech Republic. The composer was part of an arts community that kept creating within the walls of the camp. Ullmann was at Terezín from 1942 to 1944. He was then sent to Auschwitz and killed in a gas chamber. On Veterans Day, the Terezín Music Foundation at Symphony Hall will honor the art and artists who lived and worked in Terezín, including Ullmann. One of the pieces that will be performed is Ullmann's theatrical and musical interpretation of a poem, The Lay of the Love and Death of Cornet Christoph Rilke.
For these are gentlemen, every one, who know what is proper. And whoever cannot speak German in the group suddenly understands it.
Here to talk about it is Mark Ludwig, the executive director of the Terezín Music Foundation, which is dedicated to documenting, preserving, and advancing awareness of the music created by victims of the Holocaust. Mark, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Also with us is actress Annette Miller, who will be performing a piece from Ullmann at the performance. Annette, welcome.
Thank you for having us here.
So, Mark, your work with this concert is through the Terezín Music Foundation. What gap are you trying to fill with your foundation?
So, on one level, we're trying to preserve an incredible body of music that, of all things, was created in a concentration camp. This body of work was from a generation of composers who were really that next up-and-coming group.
They were young,
right? Of great voices. It spanned from, I'm going to say, the mid-20s up until their mid-40s. So they arguably would have had another two, three, perhaps four decades of creativity ahead of them. Tragically, they were all murdered in 1944. But they did leave us with music that's just so powerful. And music not only that stands on its own artistic merit, but I think on another level sensitizes us, future generations of artists and audience members, to think about the power of art, the power of expression, and to think about what we're up against when we are facing the forces of intolerance.
Mark, for those who don't know, it's such a striking thing if one doesn't know to learn that this place existed and there was art being created in this context. Can you provide a sense of what life was like for artists like Ullmann in concentration camps like Terezín?
Sure. If you step back for a moment and think of Terezín before being a concentration camp, it was a garrison town, part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, roughly 7,500 people inhabited space. In the very same buildings, it was kind of converted into a concentration camp that had a peak prison population of over 63,000 people. And these were people that were really the creme de la creme of not only the arts, but the sciences. And here they are in a concentration camp filled with death, deprivation, overcrowding, lack of adequate medical care. 33,000 people died in this camp alone. Another 87,000 were sent to the concentration camp, actually to Auschwitz, where they died in the gas chambers. What I really want to emphasize is we have a body of art, literature, music that was created under the harshest of circumstances, unimaginable, and yet it's so powerful, and it's given us something to not only embrace, as Annette is doing, but you have a multidimensional artistic experience for our audience.
So two of the works at this concert are by composers who were interned in Terezín. As mentioned, one is Ullmann's The Lay of the Love and Death of Cornet Christopher Rilke. Ullmann composed the music for this piece in 1942 while living at the camp. But the lyrics come from a prose poem published in 1912 by German poet Rainer Maria Rilke. Let's hear some of the piece from a rehearsal.
Riding, riding, riding. And the heart has grown so weary, and the longing so great.
What is the poem really about?
It's a journey. I believe that this young soldier is going on. And what's fascinating is this is a very long poem, of which Victor Ullmann has only taken certain parts.
So it's not even the whole
thing. It's not the whole poem. And why did he choose those parts? These are questions I don't know the answers to. All I can do as an artist is breathe life into those words that Rilke said with the music that Victor Ullmann is feeding me. And it's a lengthy story with a beginning, sort of hallucinatory middle, and a devastating end. And Victor Ullmann, I have to believe, was experiencing all of that in the concentration camp.
Let's listen. Let's hear a little more from the piece.
Wenches come with crimson hats amid their flowing locks of hair. Beckonings. Men at arms come, black iron as wandering night. Seize the wenches so hotly that their dresses rip. Press them against the rim of the drum. And from the wild resistance to hasty hands, the drums awake.
So let's step back from there, too, Mark, for a minute, and let me ask you, one of the things that's striking not only about this piece, but in preparing for this, learning about Terezin and the community of artists there, the various musical performances, there was an incredible amount of artistic freedom, creativity, and genesis, generating of art going on during that time. How do we make sense of that as people today?
It's surrealistic because I would take a step back. I would not say that they had this great artistic freedom.
No.
All right, because first off, what was done, especially if any of it could be interpreted as an indictment of the Nazis, mm-hmm. or tyranny, that had to be done clandestinely. That's the first part, right?
And so in fact, all the art that was created was actually done so clandestinely, even if it was performed.
Well, initially, but then later on, and here's one of the many surrealistic dimensions of the Terezin chapter, is that later, when the Nazis find out about the cultural activities, they co-opt it to try to use it for propaganda purposes.
Right?
But take a step back further. Imagine being sent on a transport. But during occupation, because of the Nuremberg racial laws, Jews were no longer allowed to own musical instruments. There were so many who kept them and then took the great chance, the great risk of smuggling them in to mm-hmm. the camp. And just to give you one quick visual for your listeners, how do you get a cello in? Right. So imagine somebody cutting up their instrument into pieces, putting in a lining of the coat.
Is that what they would do?
And then glue it back together. That was one instance. All right. This was early on when the Nazis did not know. When they did find out months later that the activities were occurring in the barracks, they decided, well, first allow them to do it to keep them under control. Mm-hmm. And secondly, what do we care? Because they're going to be annihilated.
So right. When I said artistic freedom, it was actually better to say artistic rebellion, Annette.
Well, but you see, I truly believe that the creative spirit happens no matter where. It just happens. And especially if you get a group of artists, what were the Nazis thinking? Did they think they would just all die there? Yes, but if you get a group, you know, think about the Impressionist painters that all got together and met in groups. Think about the Cubists, you know, that one fed off the other. And the notion to create, I think, just happens. It happens in that last breath of life, almost, for an artist. An artist, I think, is always going to create something.
The gate grows bigger. The horns sound the welcome. Hark! Rumble, clatter, and the barking of dogs, neighing in the courtyard, hoofbeat and shouting.
So, Mark, I want to ask your foundation, which is bringing this music forward. It's focused on preserving this work. And on Veterans Day, you're going to bring these other pieces to the stage. How do we find and preserve the music and art from these camps? Is there an artistic archaeology that happens here to go back and find creations from that time? It sort of dust them off from history and preserve them. Do you understand what I'm
saying? I would
asking?
Say it's a combination of archaeology and I'm going to say cooking. On one level.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't think you would. Okay. And probably your listeners are going, oh, where is he going with this? But archaeology, yes. You're trying to find things from the past. You're trying to mine not only manuscripts, but history, right, and testimonies. Then you want to mix it. You want to blend those great ingredients with what's going on in other places. I'll give you a quick example. When I was in Sarajevo shortly after the siege was lifted, and I brought musical instruments in, and I taught students there, and I interviewed faculty members and students, and they were talking about how they risked their lives to come to the musical academy, which, mind you, had been shelled during the siege. And they were talking about just how powerful music and art was for them to get to the next day and the next day and to create what it meant. It was the same type of language as back in Terezin, and you find it in other cultures as well, all right? And so then you want to mix those ingredients too, and then you want to mix the ingredients of our time. How does it play out? How does it resonate with our world today and tomorrow?
This is a dark piece. It's challenging material with which an audience has to engage. Why is it important to challenge the audience today in 2019 with this material?
Well, if you want to talk about silencing voices, I mean, and finding truth, what can we say about today's world where we can't even understand, where truth is being kind of questioned, facts are no longer on the table as they were, and this is forcing all of us to question. So I think it's really important today to hear this music, to remember what was, and to hopefully not repeat it.
And that period, that music at the end, Ullmann does something which is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. He takes you just to the edge of the abyss. At this piece, the way it ends,
it does.
It takes you right there, and it leaves it before you as a warning. Be careful what you do with the flag. Be careful where you go metaphorically with the forces of nationalism and fear and anger. Right? Where does that take you? And he takes you right up. Every time he takes the audience and the artist, and he challenges each and every one of us, face that abyss and know you could step away from it.
That's Mark Ludwig, Executive Director of the Terezin Music Foundation, which is dedicated to documenting, preserving, and advancing awareness of the music created by the victims of the Holocaust. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And actress Annette Miller, who will be performing tonight. Annette, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our Will to Live, Terezin 1944, presented by the Terezin Music Foundation at Symphony Hall, is tonight. More information about the performance is on our website, radioboston.org. And we're going out today on another piece composed by Ullmann, although not one from tonight's show. Piano Concerto, Opus 25, 2, Andante, Tranquillo. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.